Good morning. I'm Kyle Omler, the guru, Chris Bellina, and you are listening to The Blitz. Very exciting. We've been talking all through the preseason. When did we start? March? May? I don't even know at this
point. You know, definitely before the draft.
Yes.
But now it's time to put up or shut up.
Yes. So this is the part that where we really make our money, don't we? We sit there and say, look, these are the guys that you want to have in every single game. Start them, sit them, and then we give good reasons. Now, it isn't always going to be the people that you think it's going to be.
You know, we help you guys draft your teams, and now that you got your teams, we're going to help you put your lineups together so you can work your way right to a championship.
First game of the week, and it's a good one. Baltimore against Denver, Thursday night. Denver Broncos, is there anybody on there that we need to make sure is in our starting lineup?
Well, obviously.
Right.
Obviously, you know, you got Peyton Manning, but the guy who's going to be a little bit of a, I don't want to say a sleeper, but got the nod as starting running back for Denver. And I think because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, he's going to have a very productive first few games if he can get enough touches, is Ronnie Hillman. He held off Monte Ball as a starter. No Sean Marino is going to be someone who probably barely sees any time whatsoever. He's someone that could start as a nice flex position, or if you get points per reception, he could be definitely a good start. But you're obviously Peyton Manning. I don't expect humongous numbers out of Peyton Manning this year, but he's going to have big numbers because of the secondary with Baltimore. So they're all, and again, you got your the trio of wide receivers, Thomas, Welker, Decker. You definitely want to play them. Baltimore, other than Ray Rice, I would say I would be leery of playing anyone else. I'd be leery with Flacco. I wouldn't play Torrey Smith unless you had to. Jacoby Jones, the tight ends, they're all going to be underproductive. Ray Rice is a must-start. He's going to go in somebody's top 10. So it's going to be a lot heavy on the fantasy side for Denver, very light on the Baltimore side.
How about that new tight end in Denver, Julius Thomas? What do you think of him? Is he start him this week, or are you going to hold off for weeks until you see positive?
I would stay away from any Denver tight end because I think having Welker takes the need of a tight end away. And I honestly think tight ends in Denver are going to be there to help block, keep Peyton Manning upright, keep the hits away from Peyton Manning, as opposed to going out and catching passes. I think that's why they brought in Welker, for those short, medium-ranged, quick outs that normally would have been a Dallas Clark or a tight end. I think I wouldn't touch any tight end until you'll see really how much they're going to use them. I think in this offense, I think a lot of reason why Ronnie Hillman got the nod. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. They need six people blocking to keep Peyton Manning healthy, or they're going to go nowhere. And I think you're going to see minimal production out of tight ends.
And anybody who has players on Baltimore this year, you're going to have to hold your breath, I think, and just wait. Because, like you said, Ray Rice is the only guy at this point in time you have any faith in. You're going to have to wait, guys, and see. Maybe Flacco is going to put it all together and prove us all wrong and say, hey, yeah, this is why I deserved all this money.
Not this week.
Not this week, though.
No.
Buffalo and New England. This is the pick I have in my eliminator pool, which to me is the most obvious lopsided victory for New England.
Tom Brady is going to show why he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in our generation, if not of all time, because he has a whole new cast of characters catching the ball, and he's still going to put up 300 yards a game, 3 touchdowns a game. Now, Buffalo's defense is pretty good. They have a really good secondary. But their offense is going to be so inept that they're going to give so many opportunities to New England. So if I'm a fantasy owner and I have Tom Brady, of course, I'm playing him. I'm playing Stephen Ridley because you can probably get 100 yards and a touchdown. The receivers, unless you have a deep receiver league where you can play 4 wide receivers or a 3 wide receivers and a flex, I would stay away from any of the wide receivers early in the season.
I agree.
To see until you see who comes away for the pack. Is it going to be Kendrell Tompkins? Is it going to be Amendola? I still think it's going to be Dobson. But to me, the only guaranteed starts on New England is going to be Tom Brady and Stephen Ridley. And, you know, just be patient. If you have Tompkins or Amendola or Dobson, be patient. If you have another option, use them. Or if you have a deep receiver league, use them. But otherwise, if you're banking on Amendola to be your number 2, I think he's going to spread it out. And I really think you're not going to see one guy have a humongous game. On the other end of the ball, the only guy I see worth starting is C.J. Spiller. Stevie Johnson swears that nobody on New England can cover him. That may be the case, but unfortunately, there's nobody on the team who can get him the ball. C.J. Spiller is going to, you know, he's going to have a good first half and hopefully keep the game close by running the ball. They'll mix in Fred Jackson, but I really look for C.J. Spiller to have a good game, come near 100 yards in a losing effort. But as far as Buffalo, I'd stay away from anybody but him.
Okay, now surprise me with somebody on one of those two teams. I needed somebody that it wouldn't be a surprise if they had a big game.
It would be a surprise?
No, it would not be a surprise. So you look at him, you say, well, that one's obvious. Tom Brady, we know he's probably going to have a good game. CJ Spiller, we know he's going to have a good game. But who, when you look at this roster, what other people think is a surprise for a big game, but you're looking at and say, I'm not that surprised he had a big game.
Aaron Dobson. Yeah.
You are going to go down with that Aaron Dobson ship, aren't
well,
you?
Well, and here's what, I mean, he you're had a all lot in. Of targets. He had a lot of targets, and I tweeted that I think he, of all the wide receivers, at the end of the year, he's going to have the best fantasy numbers. I believe that. I'm also saying that Kenbrell Tompkins, I think, got a lot of action and a lot of yards and a lot of statistics because they had to see what they had with him.
Right.
He was a later draft pick. Where Dobson, second round, they know what they're going to get from him. They know the production. They targeted him a lot. I think he's going to get it in sync with Brady early because they may look to take Kenbrell Tompkins out and Danny Amendola out, leaving Dobson to have the big numbers. I think Dobson could be the leading receiver for the Patriots.
Seattle, Carolina, on the Seattle team, who needs to be on your bench?
I wouldn't play any of the receivers at all. None of them jump out off the page at me as, oh, I got to get this guy in my lineup. I mean, Zach Miller at best is a second tight end. He's the closest to someone I would want to start. But all the wide receivers, Baldwin and Tate and Rice, I'm not playing any of those guys. I'm even leery of playing Russell Wilson. Let me see him a couple of games into his second season before I start jumping on his bandwagon. Marshawn Lynch is a must start. He's probably going to go top six, top eight in every redraft league. So if you were picking in that slot, you have him on your team. He's a must start. I think Christine Michael's going to start taking away some carries, especially in blowouts, which this game could be. Only one I'm really starting on this team is Marshawn Lynch.
When you're looking at that team and you see the question marks at the wide receiver core, they're going to have to turn around and give a lot and rely on their defense. And on the Carolina side, when you have Cam Newton, he's going to be running it, and there is no Jonathan Stewart. So are you comfortable starting D'Angelo Williams?
Yeah, I think he's going to have a very big
really?
5-7 games, first 5-7. Because
against Seattle, even.
Well, no, I don't. But first 5-7 games, he's going to have some decent numbers. If you're desperate for a third running back or a second running back, I'd take a flyer on D'Angelo Williams. Seattle's defense is big on turnovers, big on sacks, big on splash plays. Are they going to stop the run? They're going to have that read offense where they're going to have Cam Newton and D'Angelo Williams. And he had a pretty good second half of the season, last four to six games. D'Angelo Williams was big, catching the ball out of the backfield, too. I would still start Cam Newton, and I would start D'Angelo Williams. And believe it or not, I would start Steve Smith. So as amazing as it sounds, Seattle's probably going to beat them up pretty good. But I think in garbage time, they're going to start getting some statistics and junk yardage. So Cam Newton, D'Angelo Williams, and Steve Smith are guys I would play this week.
Well, I'm not that surprised because it's going to be Seattle defense shutting them down, and they're going to win the game by running the ball. So it's not that shocking to sit there and hear you say, only start Marshawn Lynch, and then start the guys on the other side that might catch the ball for Carolina. So it's not that surprising.
No, I mean, Cam Newton's going to get some running yards. He's going to probably run for a touchdown. He's going to throw to Steve Smith. Greg Olsen's going to be somebody's starting tight end. He's earned that. They're going to get good production. You're not going to get an overwhelming game. If Cam Newton's your starter, you got to play him no matter who they're going against. And D'Angelo Williams is somebody, if you're desperate or he's your third running back and you can go as a flex guy, take a shot. Steve Smith's probably drafted as somebody's second wide receiver. You got to play your second wide receiver the first week of the season until you see what happens. Those are guys who've got to be in your lineup.
Bears in Cincinnati, I think this is a game I want to watch on TV. This is going to be an exciting game here.
This is a fantasy frenzy. A lot of guys to play in this game. Cutler's probably somebody's backup, so I wouldn't say he's a must start, but Forte is, obviously, and Brandon Marshall, absolutely a must start. On the other side of the ball, Andy Dalton becomes a fantasy stud this year. I'm sold on him. And the reason I say that is because I think he's going to have, at the end of the year, the most productive wide receiver in A.J. Green. As far as running backs, I'd stay away from the running backs, Bernard and Jarvis Green Ellis. You see how they're going to share the carries. Tight end, you got to play Gresham. I would wait on Eifert to see how much they really use that two tight end set. But Gresham has proven he's a guy. And if you're in a deep wide receiver league and you can play four wide receivers, look at Marvin Jones. I mean, he came on strong at the end of the year as a rookie. He had a pretty decent preseason. Keep an eye on him. See something you may want to tuck away on your roster. And if you're desperate for a wide receiver and you were smart enough to draft this guy, I mean, maybe in a shootout in this game, he may be somebody worth a start. And another guy, Martellus Bennett. If you didn't get one of those elite tight ends and you waited late to get one, he's worthy of a start this week.
So we go from an exciting game, game I really want to watch, to a game I really have no interest in watching, and that's the Browns in Miami. This could be interesting. Now, I don't want to bang on them already based on past performances. Maybe they're going to turn it around, both of them, actually, here, and it could be a very interesting game. But just like we're waiting on somebody's wide receiver corps, I'm going to wait and see if the Browns and Miami are worth watching this year.
Well, I'll tell you, of all the players on the two teams, the only one that I think is worth starting is Trent Richardson. That's an obvious one. The running back situation in Miami has just gotten muddier. Mike Wallace and Tannehill have yet to gel. Brandon Gibson was never a good fantasy guy. Hartline had that humongous game, which kind of skewed his numbers. He'll be productive. Again, if you're desperate for a wide receiver, I would play Hartline. But jumping off the page here, the only guy I see that is a must-start in this game is Trent Richardson.
What about Jordan Cameron there for the Browns? A lot of buzz coming out about him having a decent season this year.
Let me see. You know, he wasn't drafted as somebody's starter, which means I wouldn't recommend starting him. This is the type of guy that I don't want to go all in on and start him week one and give you a 0 or 2 point at any one of your players. If you have a more proven commodity, I would play him before I would play Jordan Cameron. But keep an eye on him.
I see
what he does.
And Whedon, he's had a great preseason. Still not sold on him yet, huh?
Nah, nobody drafted him as the number one quarterback. And Miami did improve on defense. It's not one of those shootout games where you can say, all right, he's going to get yardage and points in garbage time. It's one of those games where Trent Richardson's really the only one I would really play.
Wow, this is another great game. The Giants and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Week one, way to come out of the gates with an amazing game, huh?
This is an obvious game where you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 starred people. You are must-starts. This may be the most. Romo, Murray, Witten, Miles Lawson, Dez Bryant, Eli Manning, David Wilson, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz. Those are all must-starts. I'm throwing in another must-start for you, Ruben Randle.
Really?
Yeah, I'm saying Ruben Randle is going to be the Kevin Ogletree of week one.
In case people forgot who Kevin Ogletree was.
Yeah, he had a humongous week one. I think Dallas's secondary could be had. There's going to be so much attention on Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks and Brandon Myers and David Wilson that number three receivers for the Giants can be productive. And I think Victor Cruz isn't 100%. Hakeem Nicks is never 100%.
Right.
And Ruben Randle, he's just built and looks, maybe it's the number, maybe how he wears his uniform, but just looks like John Taylor in a uniform. If you get any type of those fantasy numbers from him, look out. But I just say, I think Ruben Randle is going to be the number one scoring wide receiver for the Giants in this game.
And in my 2 cents, don't be surprised if Miles Austin has more fantasy points than Dez Bryant.
Right, because they're going to key on – everyone forgets Miles Austin was a – before he started with the nagging injuries, was a fantasy stud. So I would say, you know, now you got Witten 100% this year.
Yep.
He played hurt all last year. And Tony Romo is a must-start no matter who he's playing against. The guy always puts up good fantasy numbers. He'll throw you a stinker. It won't be against the Giants. And I just think this is going to be one of those 31-27 games, you know, 24-17, 30-20 games. A lot of fantasy points. David Wilson scoring a touchdown, maybe even breaking one of 50 yards. I really think this is going to be one of those love-it fantasy games.
This is a game I want to see for one player and one player only because I've been so jazzed up about him. I want to see what Reggie Bush does against Minnesota this week.
Yeah, this is a game where, you know, one team has all the must-starts and the other team has one guy.
One guy. The other team has one guy for the, like, last 3 years.
Yeah, he's the one guy who is by far the best. Will be the, you know, I'm sure, you know, everybody listening in your draft, he went number one. On the other end of the ball, you got Calvin Johnson, who more than likely went 2 or 3 in his draft, in every redraft. So you're right. If you have a point per reception league or a league where combined yardage gets you bonus points, Reggie Bush is a super stud. I think we will be, and it's a must start. Joique Bell, I hope you handcuffed him because you know what? He's the number two running back, and there's going to be times where Reggie Bush is on the field, and so is Joique Bell, and they're going to run the ball. And it's going to be gaping holes for him to run through. And I also think Joique Bell is going to be your backup. So if you're struggling to have a running back, you one of those leagues, you got to play 3 running backs, guy I would start. You're not going to get major points out of him, but he may pluck in 2 touchdowns and get 40 total yards, is Joique Bell. With all the big names on that team, I'm still big on Joique Bell this year, having some type of fantasy impact. And if you keep listening to our show, you'll hear these games where I think he's going to have it. This one, he may get it. Keep an eye on him. On the other side, it's just Adrian Peterson. I wouldn't play anybody else.
I'm a big fan of Joik Bell as well, and he does have the bat. And it's kind of a shame that he's on a team that has Reggie Bush and Pettigrew and Calvin Johnson and guys that are all going to get their share. So it's going to be just tough for him to get catches. That's the only thing, and to get some action. It's not that he's a bad player. It's just that, you know, there's just too many mouths to feed down there, I think. So.
Well, I think Reggie Bush, you're not going to get 25 touches. He's still only going to get 15 to 20 touches. Now, that's going to be an explosive 15 to 20 touches, and if he can stay healthy, he's going to be in the top five probably overall points, depending on how your scoring format is. Joik Bell is going to get 10 to 12 touches, and you know he's going to get the goal line touches. They're going to score a lot of points, and there's going to be a lot, believe me, there's going to be a lot of pass interferences in the end zone trying to cover Calvin Johnson, putting the ball on the one-yard line, ready for Joik Bell to plug it in. If you're desperate for a running back this week, if you didn't really get a go running back in your draft and you're like, I got to find a good third running back, or I got to go to the waiver wire to do it, or somebody, you had Jonathan Dwyer and he got cut, go with Joik Bell. He's the sleeper of the week for this team. Because, you know, Reggie Bush could go out in the second play of the game and Joik Bell could have a humongous game.
Absolutely. Now, the next game, the Colts against Oakland, you're going to see the amazing difference between the quarterback talent in both these teams.
Oh, man.
The complete opposite parallels.
Yeah, it's going to be Andrew Luck's a must start. I don't care who he's playing. He is going to be the next elite fantasy quarterback. End of the year, he will be in the top 10. Running back situations, I would stay away from them all. Somebody's going to get some points, but I really wouldn't, unless you're desperate, I wouldn't play a Vic Ballard or an Ahmad Bradshaw. But as far as receivers, get T.Y. Hilton in your lineup. We all know about Reggie Wayne. I think this is the year. I think Kobe Fleener is going to break out. I know Dwayne Allen had a nice year last year, but Kobe Fleener, again, a lot of mouths to feed there. So if you have one of those guys, get him in your lineup. If you have two of them, pick which one you want to play. No, I wouldn't play both. On the other end of the ball, the only guy I would see playing is Darren McFadden. Keep an eye on Jacoby Ford. Again, you'll hear these names from me all year long. If he stays healthy, I still think he's going to be the top receiver on that team. Because if you get points for returns, I like Jacoby Ford. If I had to pick a receiver from Oakland, and the reason I have to pick one is because they are going to be far behind, which means they are going to have to throw the ball, I'm saying Jacoby Ford's the guy.
You love Jacoby Ford.
I do. Oh, I tell you, if this guy can stay healthy, he could put up 1,000 yards, and he can have all-purpose yards approaching 2,000 yards. Just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and the best argument that you just said there, and you said it real quick, was it's Oakland, they're going to fall behind. They're going to have to throw the ball, which means somebody has to start catching it. I mean, they're going to fall down early, I think.
Early.
Unless their whole plan of attack is to just run the Army offense of option three-person in the backfield, run, 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 run. Now, and the other thing that I'm going to say is I'm a Dwayne Allen believer. And that I'm only a believer because Kobe Fleener, in my opinion, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. It just doesn't seem his head is into the game. I know you mentioned that you like him, but to me, it's like, really? It's just, he just made a lot of mental mistakes. If he can get past those mental mistakes, I think he's the more talented physically guy, but he just, the mental mistakes are just hurting his game right now, and I'm afraid that he's just losing ground to Allen because of that. Now, the Chiefs, Jacksonville, this is your team. It's very nice of them to get a nice, easy start for the season.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go in and blow anybody out this year, but they're going to find ways to win. Again, Andy Reid is a program builder, and when there's Andy Reid, there's good fantasy numbers to follow. And there's always good fantasy numbers to follow from his quarterback. So I look for a big game out of Alex Smith. Jacksonville, they don't have a good defense. They don't have a good offense. They're not going to be in this game, and Andy Reid will pour it on. I look for Alex Smith. Like I said, I think he's a must start. I think he should be somebody's starting quarterback all year, and he may be mine. Jamaal Charles, a must start. And a guy that, you know, and as you guys look at your drafts, he probably fell to the third or fourth round. Dwayne Bowe is a must start. And I can see 100 yards and a touchdown out of Dwayne Bowe this week. On the other end, I want to see Maurice Jones-Drew, how much he plays before I say he's a must start, especially if it's a good Kansas City defense. Cecil Shorts, can he build on last year? Somebody has to catch the ball, and I think it's going to be him. I would say Cecil Shorts is somebody you have to get in your lineup. Somebody has to catch the ball there. They're not really going to be able to run the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball. And with Blackman out and Mercedes Lewis, you don't know who's going to show up. He's really their only real option to catch the ball. You'll see some funky plays with Denard Robinson, but overall, Jacksonville, the only must-start Cecil Shorts on, as I said, in Kansas City, I would play Smith, Charles, and Bo.
Talk about a fantasy football smorgasbord.
Oh.
The Saints against Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the game I want to watch. Is this a 1 o'clock game or a 4 o'clock game?
I don't know. I'll make sure this is the game I'm going to watch.
Basically, in this game, and we could go through who to start. You know who they all are. What I'm really looking at in this game is who that we're not expecting to have a big impact is going to have a big impact in this game. And the guy I'm leaning towards, the guy I say he's a must start, the guy I say he's going to have a big game that may not be on everyone's radar with all the superstar fantasy players in this game is going to be Lance Moore. I just think there's going to be a lot of emphasis put on Colston and Jimmy Graham. I think that they're going to want to come out, the Saints, with the win, their coaching staff back and everything. And I think, you know, you could probably shut down Colston and Graham. When I say shut down, keep them under 18 fantasy points. But I think Lance Moore is going to have number one wide receiver numbers because of how much production is going to be in this game.
Now, how about Sproles? Is he going to be a guy in that situation since they're shutting the other guys down? Somebody's got to catch it, right?
See, now I think Breeze, Sproles, Graham, Colston, Matt Ryan, Steven Jackson, Tony Gonzalez, White and Jones, those are no-brainers starts. I mean, you're playing Sproles. I'm just saying not everyone's going to think to play Lance Moore.
So start Garrett Hartley then, right?
Oh, I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Start that kicker. He's going to score.
Both kickers.
Tons and tons and tons of points.
Yeah, this is a game where if you have somebody in this game, get him in your lineup.
Well, I mean, it's going to be awful hard for you to sit anybody on any of these teams ever this year.
Well, right. And that's the thing, too. I mean, I have number three pick in my draft tomorrow, had number three pick, so I'm looking to get a bunch of these guys.
Right, and New Orleans is just doing everybody else a favor by having so many injuries on their defensive front, too.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who plays New Orleans, get them in your lineup.
I mean, they just keep dropping like flies over there, so they already had a subpar defense. Now it's getting ridiculously bad.
Yep.
So it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Steelers, Titans, is this going to be a good old-fashioned slugfest, running the ball, slapping each other around?
I think that's what you're going to have here. You're not going to see a lot of fantasy value. I mean, someone's going to start Antonio Brown, and I'd say I'd recommend that. You know, we had Ben Roethlisberger on the cusp of a starter, so he may be somebody's backup. I'd be leery of putting him in this game. I mean, they're really struggling at running back again. They cut Dwyer, and Bell is hurt, and Stevens Howley is only a third down back, and Isaac Redmond didn't impress us last year when he had the opportunity. He had one good game against the Giants. Number two wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders. Again, let's see how that offense really looks before you start loading up on Steelers. Not that you'll ever load up on Steelers for fantasy football, but you really have to reach other than Antonio Brown to find a starter on the Steelers for week one. On the other end of the ball, again, there's just two guys worth starting. It's going to be Chris Johnson. You play him every week, regardless of who he's going against, because he can take it to the house at any time. And I think Kenny Britt, I think this is going to be a big year for Kenny Britt. Jake Locker can show some stability at quarterback. I think this could be a good year for Kenny Britt. And the Steelers, they're going to give up passing yards. So this is going to be somebody who can get 70, 80 yards and a touchdown week one is a good number two and number three wide receiver. So there's really only, in this game, three people I say that are must starts. And nobody who's going to come out of nowhere and have a big game.
Ooh, nobody, huh? There isn't any. So you're looking at the wide receivers owner saying Antonio Brown, but just forget about anybody else. What about that rookie?
Marcus Wheaton?
Yeah, Marcus Wheaton.
I got to see something before I put him in. You can't get much out of preseason. I got to see something before I put him in a line. Recommend him in a lineup. I recommend having him on your roster. I don't recommend starting him week one when there's so many other options out there.
Right. Texas and the Chargers. Again, Chargers are just falling apart in the season. It hasn't even started yet. Is this going to get ugly quick?
Chargers will keep it close. I mean, I think, again, Philip Rivers is right there with Roethlisberger as a cusp starter. I mean, this is a guy who was the number three or number four quarterback who's fallen in the last 3 years to middle of the pack and a backup.
Yeah.
And Ryan Matthews has never panned out. I stayed away from Chargers because of the injury factor, the inconsistency, the new coaching. If there is a guy that I would say would be worthy of starting on the Chargers, it's Vincent Brown. I think by the end of the year, Vincent Brown, staying healthy, could be their number one wide receiver. He's going to take the spot of Denario Alexander. That's a humongous loss. I just think Vincent Brown really had some good rapport with Philip Rivers 2 years ago, and I really thought last year was going to be his big year. He gets hurt in preseason, of course. He's a Charger. And I think this is the year he comes in and he has a major impact. On the other end of the ball, I mean, it's just going to be a lot of Arian Foster, a lot of Andre Johnson, not a lot of else. on that team. That's why I'm not a big Schaub supporter. I didn't think they're just going to pound the ball running. Huge day out of Arian Foster. Going to exceed 20 points in a standard scoring league. Andre Johnson, they're just going to pitch and catch with him. You sprinkle in Owen Daniels as a must start. Somebody's going to draft him as a starting tight end and be productive there. But in a game like this that's going to get out of hand early, I think you're going to see a lot of Arian Foster, a lot of Ben Tate, and not a lot of production out of like a Mount Schaub.
You know, I don't know actually which game I'm going to watch because now I'm seeing San Francisco against Green Bay. Another amazing matchup.
Well, see, this is where fantasy football hurts football. This is a great game to watch.
Yes, it is.
But you know what? Nobody watches an entire football game. I may be one of the last people who will sit there. And I'm not a big fan of the red zone blitz. I'm really not.
I have to force myself. I have to say, you know what? I'm not going to look at stuff. I'm just going to watch this game and enjoy the game.
Even people I know are having allegiance to a team will rather sit there and watch red zone than watch their favorite team play an entire game. Now, look, I'm not going to lie. Commercial, I'll flick over to red zone blitz. But I'm constantly checking back to see when that commercial's over so I can watch the Steelers play. This is another game that, you know, is worthy of just watching the game, not flicking around, not worrying about fantasy football, and just enjoying the game. Now, we're a fantasy football program, so let's talk about that. You're playing Aaron Rodgers, but you know what? You're going to be very disappointed in this game. I think he's going to have a subpar Aaron Rodgers game. I think with the banged-up receiving core, Cobb's not 100%, and Jordy Nelson's not 100%. I don't think they're going to run the ball. They're not going to be able to run the ball behind that patchwork offensive line and a rookie running back, although Lacy looked pretty good. He really took control of that running back situation. The guy I would start, I think, is going to have a big game and a big season is JerMichael Finley. I think this is the season for him, and I think he's going to take the place of – he's going to catch some of those balls that were supposed to go to Greg Jennings. On the other end of the ball, nobody jumps out at me on this game. Nobody other than – Vernon Davis, what I say, is a must start. I think that you're going to see the decline, the Michael Turner, or I would say the Eddie George decline from Frank Gore this year. They have too many other capable running backs, plus Colin Kaepernick can run the ball, where Frank Gore is not going to get 25 touches a game anymore, which means his fantasy value is going to be significantly decreased this year. And I don't see many games of 15 or 20 points out of this guy. And he's not going to get it against Green Bay. I think it's going to be a lot of disappointed Frank Gore owners. Only guy I see worthy of a start is Vernon Davis.
So you're thinking this might actually be a low-scoring game then?
I do.
You're saying San Francisco's shutting them down on their side, so you're not feeling real comfortable about starting a lot of guys on Green Bay or San Francisco.
Nah, this is a 20-14, 17-14, 17-10 game. I think San Francisco is going to come away with the win. But I think this is going to get a lot of people disgruntled initially who have an Aaron Rodgers or a Kaepernick or a Gore or a Randall Cobb or a Jordy Nelson because they're just not going to come out of the gate strong for you. And it may cost you a game. So if you have an alternate running back, you may want to look to play him other than a Frank Gore.
Right, and they're going to make it very difficult for Rodgers. They always have. They've always given him a hell of a time back there. And it's not like they've got anybody at the running back position that's going to take any pressure off him yet. It's a rookie.
Right.
This guy's a rookie. Yeah. Don't expect anything from him yet.
Correct.
So it's just not going to happen. They're going to try and lean quite a bit on Rodgers, but San Francisco knows that. And they've known that for a couple years now, and they just throw everything at him.
Yep.
St. Louis, Arizona, a couple teams that have really started to turn their defense around quite a bit here. So is this going to be another 7-3 game?
No, because I think the quarterback play in Arizona is so improved.
Oh,
you're
yeah,
going to see a coming out party. Yeah, you're going to see a coming out party for Larry Fitzgerald. And another guy I'm sold on is Michael Floyd. I think this is where he shows why he was a number 10 pick overall or wherever he was last year. Because now he's got somebody who can get him the ball. His rookie year was spent with the worst quarterback play in the history of the NFL. So we don't really know what you have from Michael Floyd. You're going to find out what you have because they're going to really concentrate on Fitzgerald. Nobody's going to care about the running game, and I think it's going to leave a lot of opportunities for Michael Floyd. So he's a must-start. Michael Floyd is a must-start, in my opinion, as a number 2 or number 3 wide receiver. On the other end of the ball, I'm really reaching to find anybody worth starting. Darrell Richardson as a number 3 running back, maybe. Maybe Jared Cook, but I'm not playing Bradford, and I'm not playing any wide receivers till I see who stands out as their number 1. So I'm not starting off the year playing a Ram until I see what the heck shakes out with that offense.
Greg the Leg, that's who you got to start.
Yeah,
start that kicker over there. The other guy that I'm looking at, too, on Arizona, and it's because of the improvement at quarterback combined with the offensive line having its issues still. So he's got to find somebody quick release. I still love Andre Roberts. He's the guy who's going to be the quick release pepper. You know,
yeah.
Palmer might have to just pepper it to him because he just doesn't have the time. So he's going to find that first guy and just, but there you go, bam. And I would not be surprised if Andre Roberts has a nice number of catches, maybe not for very many yards. At the end of the day, he could walk away with maybe 7 catches for 60 yards. But I'd be happy in a PPR, slightly excited about his potential this year, only because, that offensive line is, they're getting hurt still. They're having problems. So Palmer is much braver than his predecessors there in Arizona. So he will hang in the pocket a lot longer and take quite a few more hits. So maybe he'll hang in and throw a couple deep bombs out there. You have to throw him to Fitzgerald. Just throw him there and let him try and catch him anyways. And Palmer's never been afraid to do that. So
correct.
He could prove me wrong. But I do think that Andre Roberts could be a guy who just gets a lot of little quick pepper throws. Philadelphia, Washington. Big surprise they named Vic as the starter up in Philadelphia. I mean,
that's the right move. I said he's going to be a top 20 quarterback this year. And I got to say, I am so sick of RG3.
Yeah.
Every show leads with him. Is this guy Joe Namath? I mean, Namath, I mean, see, how many Super Bowls has he won that everyone should care about this opera in Washington? And I like RG3. It's beginning to make me not like him because he's just every time where you look, it's an RG3 update. It's just ridiculous. So based on that, I'm not playing him this week because I want to I want to see if he really is 100% and how they're going to be able to utilize him before I go and run out and play RG3. If I have another option, I'm going to go with that option. I have more confidence in Michael Vick than RG3 week one. I mean, he may come in and light it up with 5 touchdowns, but I would take that risk knowing that this guy hadn't played all preseason. He has no rapport with his wide receivers, really, other than from last year. And they're going to baby him, which means a lot of Alfred Morris, a lot of Roy Helu. A lot of short passes to Santana Moss. Not a lot of deep balls to Garcon because they're not going to want to expose him early in the season. So in this game, looking at Washington, only guy really worth starting is Alfred Morris because they're going to utilize him. I'm not big on him all year, but I think he's going to have a good first game until Robert Griffin III works his way back into the lineup. Now, on the other end of the ball, Vic's a must start. I just think he's a must start all year. I think he's going to bring that Michael Vick dimension that he had a couple of years ago because he's got somebody breathing down his neck. And when he has somebody breathing down his neck, he's been a better quarterback. Seems like he concentrates a little bit more on football. McCoy, off an injury, I still think he's going to have a big game. He was drafted probably in the top 10 or 12 in everybody's league. And a guy I like big time, Deshaun Jackson, I look for him to put up some big points, some big plays. So there's some starts on the Eagles side of the ball. Let's see how the number 2 wide receiver pans out before you play a Cooper or an Avant. You know, those are 3 guys on Philadelphia that are must-starts.
And the last game, boy, we zipped through these.
We're
flying through because we're not here to bore you. We're not here to sit there and talk all day. So let's move on to the last game, and that is the Jets and Tampa. The Jets, you got to love them. You're starting everybody on the Jets, right?
I would. Why not? If you get paid for the worst score of the week, that's the team you want to go with. I don't understand the Jets again. They can't figure out their quarterback situation. If you didn't want Sanchez, why did you keep him? You could have gotten something for him somewhere. There is nobody on the Jets worth starting. And in fact, I'd be shocked if there was anybody on your team that's a Jet. There's nobody worth even drafting. I mean, I'm sure Chris Ivory was going to get drafted because he's a starting running back, but big deal. I'd rather have Joey Bell start than Chris Ivory any game of the week. On the other end of the ball, there's some fantasy people worthy of starting. Doug Martin's probably a top 5 running back based on where he was drafted. This game, he's going to have a big game. I'm not sold on him the whole year. I want to see a little bit more out of players before I anoint them after their rookie season. Vincent Jackson showed me enough to say that he's probably a low-end number 1, high-end number 2 wide receiver. So right there you have 2 starts in this game. And, you know, let's see what happens with Josh Freeman this year.
We just blasted through every single game. So I hope you didn't cough, because I'm sure if you coughed, you coughed right over top of us and you didn't hear what we were saying. So rewind it. Listen to what we did there. For Chris Bellina, I am Kyle Omler. You've been listening to The Blitz.
Good luck this year, guys.